From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The curtain rises on what could be the final act in the long saga of President Obama's health care overhaul. Now that the House has passed it, the president signs the bill into law today. And NPR's David Wellner reports the Senate takes up some revisions to the bill using a fast-track, filibuster-proof procedure known as reconciliation.
Senate Democrats no longer have the 60 votes they had to pass the health care bill that becomes law today, but under budget reconciliation rules, a simple majority of 51 is enough to pass the package of fixes the House approved Sunday. Harry Reid is the leader of Senate Democrats.
What this budget process is all about is simply making a good law that we pass on Christmas Eve even better.
But that's not how Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell sees it.
They want to make this bill even worse. They want to add more deals on top of the other ones. Well, I have a message for our Democratic friends. Enough is enough.
Republicans hope to alter the reconciliation bill and force it back to the House. To do that, they'd either need Democrats to help them pass amendments or parts of the bill ruled out of order. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
President Obama is set to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. It's the first get-together for the two leaders since a diplomatic clash earlier this month. NPR's Jackie Northam reports Israel's decision to build 1,600 new homes in East Jerusalem continues to irk the White House.
The White House extended an invitation to Prime Minister Netanyahu just about the time he was getting on a plane bound for a three-day trip to Washington. Netanyahu's visit coincides with U.S. efforts to revive stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. But the Obama administration says Israel is jeopardizing that process by announcing new housing construction in East Jerusalem, an area Palestinians believe is their future capital. Netanyahu has since proposed a series of confidence-building measures, but on Monday he said that Israel will maintain its right to build Jewish settlements in Jerusalem. President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu will most likely address Israel's housing policies during their private meeting at the White House. Iran's nuclear ambitions will undoubtedly be another topic of discussion. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.
Former Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush are trying to keep public attention on Haiti's earthquake recovery with a visit to Haiti where Mr. Bush says an up-close view makes a deep impression.
It's one thing to see it on TV, it's another thing to see it firsthand. And hopefully our trip will help remind people in our country that Haiti needs help.
The two former presidents are leading the U.S. effort to raise money for Haiti's rebuilding. On their visit, stops at a survivors' camp housing tens of thousands of people and at a woodworking company that can build new houses. This is NPR News. A new study finds aging baby boomers can look forward to more work if they want it in education, health care, and government. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports on predictions of labor shortages a decade ahead.
Labor economist Barry Bluestone looked at what should happen assuming a normal recovery from the recent recession.
By 2018, we project an increase of about 15 million jobs nationwide. But because of the retirements of baby boomers, we could see only about 10 million more workers.
Bluestone says that's good news for the young, who may be hurting in the current economy, but will be in high demand later. But he says older workers will still be needed to stay on to close the job gap. Other research shows many do plan to work well past traditional retirement, in part because people are living longer and healthier, and in part because so many saw their retirement money disappear in the stock market decline. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
The left-leaning community activist group Acorn is closing its doors. Its revenue is down and negative publicity after a video sting recorded workers giving tax tips to conservative activists posing as a pimp and prostitute has punched a hole in its credibility. The Acorn shutdown pleases the group's opponents, who say it used questionable tactics and federal money to advance its agenda. But Acorn spokespersons say that partisan operatives and right-wing activists launched a concerted, well-funded campaign to bring the group down. One Acorn official calls it one of the worst campaigns of its type since the Red Scare stoked by the late Senator Joseph McCarthy in the 1950s. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.